Have you ever had to do something that you just flat out did not want to do? Maybe the boss man has asked you to do something for somebody that maybe you didn't quite get along with, or there was an aspect that you just of your job or something that you just flat out did not want to do. And yet you had to do. Well, obviously you didn't do that with the best of heart. You know, maybe you didn't even give your A game along the way. Well, over the next couple of weeks, we're actually going to be looking at the book of Jonah. We're going to look at several chapters of it. I believe it may be this may be the first of five messages that we want to do, looking at the city that God wanted to save. And it is so ironic that even though God wanted to do something great and incredible for the city of Nineveh, he chose a man who could not stand Nineveh or the Ninevites. Maybe you found yourself in that situation. If you have, hang in there. We're going to start looking at passages out of the book of Jonah, chapter 1, in just a moment. We'll be right back. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're so glad that you have tuned in to join us today. We're actually going to be looking at the Old Testament book of Jonah, chapter 1, as we get started. A minute ago, I asked you if you've ever had to do something for somebody or do something in regard to something that you just really didn't want to do because you didn't either like the person or the situation. Well, this is a case that we're looking at when it comes to Jonah in the book of Jonah. Yeah, Jonah was one of God's prophets, and he called him to go into a great city called Nineveh. And I don't want to spoil it, so we're going to jump right in to our scripture text today. But I want you to pay careful attention to what is taking place in these particular passages of scripture. And I want you to see if maybe there's some aspects that you see here that essentially go along with your life. Jonah chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading with verse 1. Says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4 says, but the Lord sent out a great wind in the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Verse 5, then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Verse 8, then they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? You know, what is your country, and of what people are you? So he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Verse 11, then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing very tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to the land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleases you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, again, we ask that you would just speak to our hearts. Lord, as we look at your word, as we begin to see all of the wonders and the grace that you bestow upon mankind, even when we're unlovable, you still love us. Lord, may we learn some lessons through this series from Jonah, from his actions and from the actions that, Lord, you took against him. Lord, I pray that for these few moments that you would use me as your messenger for the moment, that your word would truly go forth. Help us, Lord, to lift you up, that you might truly draw all men unto you. And Lord, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, most of us probably have heard the story of Jonah and the great fish. If you spent any time around church or vacation Bible school, maybe when you were little, maybe you were smaller, but the story of Jonah, you know, we think about that. He was called to preach, and finally, yeah, he's swallowed up by this great fish. And what a fitting book in light of the world that we live in today. When you think about the hatred that is just going forth, and the words that people use against one another, and just how I guess the way that I used to hear it growing up, just how hateful people have become. So we got to get the picture as to what's taking place and what's going on. You know, Jonah says that he is a Hebrew. He is a prophet. He is one who fears God. And God essentially comes to him and tells him, he says, "I want you to go down to this place called Nineveh, a city." This city had gotten completely ungodly. He says, "I want you to go down. I want you to prophesy against them. I want you to go down there and preach." And he says, and they're on a timetable. They don't have that long of a time. Yeah, basically 6 weeks is the way we look at it. But the thing about it was, and what's very interesting, is that God loved the city of Nineveh so much that he wanted to save it. Yeah, so what he does is he calls his servant Jonah to go there. And there was a really good reason. They, like I said, they were on the clock. The countdown had begun for this great city. They had 6 weeks left. You know, the countdown of wickedness. Think about it for a moment. Think about all the things that are taking place. We're on the clock as well. We're in a countdown. There's a countdown to the wickedness that's going forth in our world, because someday the Lord's going to put an end to it. There's a countdown in life, how precious life is and how quickly it can go away. Most of us at some point in our lives have experienced that, just the way that I have recently with the death of my best friend from childhood. Nobody was expecting that. We're on the clock, folks. Think about the countdown of the prophetic fulfillments that we read about in the Word of God. His return could be at any moment. But the joy in all of this is that there is hope. There is hope in Christ. But that hope rests for Nineveh in a prophet by the name of Jonah. And he is relaxing. And it's so interesting what takes place. I can imagine how this conversation went when God goes to Jonah and he says, "Jonah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down to this great city called Nineveh, and I want you to prophesy against it. I want you to point out what they are doing wrong, how they have turned their back on me. I want you to go out there and I want you to just preach the very, very best that you can." Now, you know, as we look at these passages, and this may spill a little bit over into chapter 2, but Jonah's sitting there going, okay, yeah, no problem, God. But yet the word tells us he did not go to Nineveh. What happened was he went down and got on a ship heading in the opposite direction. It says he was going to Tarshish. So here's another really good point for us to understand today. When God calls you and tells you to go to a particular place, he means for you to go there. Jonah went in exactly the opposite direction. Like God was not going to know that. You know, God knows everything. God knew knew his heart from the very, very get-go. And there was even a reason why God chose Jonah to be the messenger to the people of Nineveh. And one of the biggest reasons is because he had a hatred for the Ninevites. He didn't want to go down there. He couldn't stand them. In fact, he would rather they perish than be saved. It's kind of funny how God chose somebody who didn't like the people of Nineveh to go prophesy against Nineveh. Now, what happens later on is also a really interesting turn of events. I don't want to get ahead of myself, so bear with me. But yet there is hope in the midst of the countdown. Nineveh was on the clock. You and I are on the clock as well. Our world is on the clock. The wickedness that takes place in it. You know, the number of days that each and every one of us have. The fulfillments, the prophetic fulfillments that the Word of God has just shown us event after event after event. It's all right here. All we've got to do is get into our Bible and take a look at it. So Jonah goes down and he pays the fare. He gets on this ship that, as we mentioned a moment ago, is going in the wrong direction. It's not heading to Nineveh. It's heading down to Tarshish. And Jonah goes down into the bottom of the ship and he's taking a nap. You know, think about that hope we talked about just a moment ago. For the city of Nineveh, the hope of their redemption is resting in a prophet named Jonah, and he's just chilling out. You know, in other words, Jonah, arise, get moving. You, there's work to do. This is not one of those things that's going to last forever. You are on the clock. In the same way that we see Nineveh on the clock, you and I and this world are on the clock in the same fashion. Jonah stands for the sleeping church in this critical hour. These days, I believe there should be a desperation of preaching the gospel because time is short. The time is at hand. So I believe the Lord is telling us as Christian people, he's telling us as churches that we need to get up and we need to get moving. It's time to stop napping and it is time to be about the Father's business. So Jonah stands for the sleeping church and the sleeping Christian in this critical time of life. Nineveh, on the other hand, stands for a lost world that is just you're teetering on the brink of doom and destruction. It is that close. When you look at our country, and you can see that we're not a godly nation anymore. You know, in fact, even statistics and surveys have shown that the high percentage of people who call themselves Christian and define us as a Christian nation, that percentage has gone way, way down, even dramatically in the past 10 years. So Nineveh stands for a lost world. Jonah stands for the church and the Christian people who are asleep. Remember what it said in our passage? It said that when Jonah got on that ship, he went down and he starts to take a nap. Now, I think for a moment about the condition of Jonah's heart. Let me carry you back in our text over to verse 3. What was going on in Jonah's heart? Verse 3 says this. It says, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish. In other words, not in the direction God told him to go. In fact, the opposite direction. It says, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He was trying to run away from the Lord. I laugh when I think about that because that's an impossible task. You cannot run away from the Lord. There's no mountain too high. There's no valley so low that you can get away from the presence of the Lord. And Jonah is running from him. It says once again, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship that was going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So when we think about the condition of his heart, the condition of Jonah's heart could best be summed up by rebellious and disobedient. Has that ever been the descriptor of your heart? Rebellious and disobedient. Maybe the Lord has called you to a task today, and yet you're sitting back going, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go in the opposite direction. If God says go this way, I'm going that way. If God says up, I say down. If he says right, I say left. And some of us are in that position right now. Jonah was so rebellious and disobedient at that point that you would sit back and say, well, man, can God even do anything with him? Remember what he said? God told him, go to Nineveh. He went to Joppa. He told him to go east. He went west, completely opposite. Because when you think about the difference between where Nineveh was and you think about where Joppa and Tarshish were, he was going completely in the opposite direction. You know, I want you to think about something for a moment. Do you know a point of departing from God's will in your life? Is there that point when God told you to go here and you went there? When you sort of turned your back on him and went the opposite direction, or you did exactly the opposite of what he told you, or rather maybe did nothing at all when he has called you to a task, you will find yourself in that same ship that Jonah got on, and it's not in a good place. I've always liked what Pastor David said many years ago at our church. Has been repeated so many times. He said there's two types of people in this world. There are those that are in God's will, and there are those that wish they were in God's will because you've, for some reason, gone in the opposite direction. Think about that. Is there a point in your life when you, like Jonah, departed from God's will? You know, there's this downward trail of backsliding, and it is so easy. There's this old expression that says it's a very slippery slope. When you get on it, it is easier to continue down that slope of backsliding. It's so, so easy to get on that trail. You know, you're either heading to higher ground or you're downward bound. There is no in between. It's one of the two, you know, and think about this for a minute. God had more trouble getting his servants going than he did getting Nineveh to repent. Now, I know I got a little bit ahead of you there. And of course, most of you probably know the particular story. Nineveh, in the chapters that will follow, actually repent when Jonah goes in there and preaches what I would consider to be probably less than a stellar sermon. He probably didn't put his heart into it. He probably didn't give it his A game, as it were, and yet Nineveh repents. Think about that for a minute. God had more trouble getting his servant going and doing what he asked him to do than he did getting the whole city of Nineveh to repent. That blows my mind when I think about it in that regard. I mean, I just think about it, and we're supposed to be his people. We're supposed to be the ones that are following him. We're supposed to be the ones that are listening to what it is that he wants. So the same thing that happened to Jonah is what happens to you and I when we're disobedient to his will. In verses 4 through 16 of our text, what we begin to see is that the Lord begins to chasten Jonah. What does that mean? That means that chastening is that fancy word saying he's not going to let him get away with simply going in the opposite direction. He's not going to let him get away with that disobedience. And in the same way God was not going to let Jonah get away with it, he's not going to let you and I get away with it either. The Lord chastens his children. In fact, the word tells us in the book of Hebrews, those whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He goes after. So how does he get Jonah's attention? Sometimes God has to get our attention, and sometimes he has to do it with a baseball bat or a 2x4. And I'm sure that there were probably those of you that are listening to this message in this Bible study today that said amen to that. You know what it feels like to take a Louisville Slugger to the head because God needed to get your attention. So in Jonah's life, at this particular point, he's in a ship, he's going the wrong direction. God allows a storm to come up. Big storm, bad storm. You know, and where's Jonah in the midst of all this that's taking place and going on? He is down in the belly of this particular ship taking a nap. And I can just picture what it was like. I mean, all those that were on the ship are doing everything that they can. As the word tells us, they're trying to row back to shore, but the waves weren't allowing that. These men were in fear that they were going to die from this particular storm. And then all of a sudden, as they look around, they see that there's somebody missing. They see that Jonah is not there. They're like, where's that guy that got on the ship down at Joppa? What's he doing? And it says that the captain goes down there and he finds him asleep. Everybody else, it's one of those all hands on deck. Get up here. You know, we've got to do everything that we can to try to save our lives. And yet you're down here, Jonah, sleeping in the bottom of this ship. What are you doing, man? Something weird is going on in the midst of this situation. The word tells us that these men that were up on the deck were tossing cargo and everything over to try to lighten up the ship to hopefully survive. And Jonah's taking a nap. You know, what has God called you to do in the critical hour? And here you are asleep in the lazy boy, or laying over there on the couch, or sleeping in, or whatever the case may be. But you're not about the Lord's business. You're not responding to what's going on around you. Jonah's asleep in the middle of the storm. Now, folks, I've said this many, many times, and I'm going to continue to say it. God has a purpose in our trials. There is a reason for every trial that comes our way. We may not see it right in front of us. Sometimes it's hard to see through the smoke and the fog, as it were, to see what it is that God is doing or wants to do in our lives. But He has got a purpose for us. There's a purpose for each and every situation and each and every trial that takes place. In this case, the trial was because Jonah was not going in the right direction. He was going away from God's will, and God needed to bring him back into his will and get him going in the right direction. Maybe some of the trials that are taking place in your life are in the same fashion that they were in Jonah's life. Maybe it's because you're not following the Lord's will, and he is going to bring you into his will. Make no mistake. You are eventually going to be going in the direction that God wants you to go, whether you go voluntarily or whether you go kicking or screaming. I promise you that. It's a lot less painful if you just obey and go, rather than the good Lord having to grab you by the leg and drag you to where he wants you to be. But I can make you this promise. He will get you where he wants you to be, just like he did with Jonah, and as you will see as we continue our study along the way. Now, it was interesting that the sailors had a reaction to this thing as well. They're like, Jonah, finally he says, yeah, the reason for this storm, it's all my fault. Yeah, the other sailors were saying, look, why don't you do like the rest of us? Why don't you call on your God? Maybe he'll save us. And Jonah says, yeah, guys, look, here's the plain simple bottom line is I am the reason for this storm. The reason it's come up is because, you know, God's not happy with me right now. I'm not doing the right thing. Could you imagine being one of those other sailors? In fact, Jonah actually said to him, what you guys need to do is you just need to throw me overboard. And I mean, literally, those guys are sitting there thinking, well, if we do that, you're going to die. Then we're going to be murderers and your blood will be on our hands. We can't do that. In fact, our text today tells us that they even cast lots to see whose fault it was. And of course, the lot cast fell to Jonah. And he said, yeah, it's me. Yeah, y'all need to throw me overboard because if you don't, God's mad. That's what's going on. And they still didn't want to do that. They still tried to get on the oars and row harder and think that maybe that in their own strength and their own power that they could bring this ship back to the shore, only to realize that their efforts were futile. It was not going to happen. And of course, as we go forward, you're going to find out that they did. They're like, Lord, please don't hold us accountable. Don't let Jonah's blood be on our hands. We're going to toss him off the ship. And of course, they did that, and they found out that in doing so, that they were exactly right. When they tossed him in, the seas became calm, and I'm sure that those men were sitting there going, I think we made a good choice. We made a good decision on this one. And the Lord says, yep, I'm going to get Jonah's attention. I'm going to spare you guys, but they toss him over into the water. And of course, the reason why he was tossed over into the water is because the Lord had prepared a great fish to come swallow him up. Once again, I'm going to take it a little bit slower so that I don't get ahead of myself in the midst of our series in the book of Jonah. So the sailor's reaction was, we don't really want to do this, but this is what we've got to do. But the question that they asked, the sailors asked Jonah this question, why have you done this? In verse 10 of our text, why have you done this? Why have you done what you've done to anger God? That's a great question for you and I. If we're being disobedient to God, why are you doing that? You know you're not going to win. You know that God is eventually going to get you where he wants you to be. You just need to be obedient and go forward. The same question that the others that were on that ship asked Jonah, I ask you today. Why have you done this? Why are you where you are? What are you doing? Yeah. And most of us, we could probably answer that question. We wouldn't like the sound of it if it came out of our mouth. You know, because if it comes out of our mouth, then all of a sudden it becomes real. We sit back in our minds all the time. I've had that happen so many times before where, you know, somebody comes to me in a situation over another person and I'll ask the question, what is it that you would have for me to do to that particular person? And really in their heart of hearts, what they want is they would like for them to be drawn and quartered or hanged by the neck until dead or burned at the stake, but yet they won't say that because if they say it, then it becomes a reality. You know, if it comes out of their mouth and it's like, really, is that what you want? And see, we're that way as well. Those guys asked Jonah, why have you done this? Why have you irritated God? And I ask you the same question. Why have you been disobedient and why have you irritated God? Now think about this. Jonah got caught. You know, in verses 11 through 17, you know, God had prepared this great fish to come up and swallow him. And in verses 11 through 15, there's some instructions that were given about the calming of the sea. You know, once I'm thrown over, the sea will be calm. And it's so ironic that even in the midst of doing that, there was a prayer of the sailors over in verse 16. I want to share that with you because I think it's pretty important. Verse 16 says this. It says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. They saw God do something that man can't do. They saw the sea all of a sudden become calm. And they're like, man, I'm going to tell you one thing. If there is a God that is that powerful, that's the God that we need to be worshiping. So there was testimony, even in Jonah's misfortune and even in Jonah's disobedience at that particular point, those sailors and those on that boat saw the power of God when they threw Jonah overboard and they feared him. Now, I believe that not only was that a reverent fear, I believe that there was a little bit of scared type fear as well, because if I saw something like that, it'd probably be a great attention getter in my life as well. So it was a testimony to the sailors along the way. Now, again, this great fish is a miracle. Oftentimes we'll call it a whale. Mainly we call it a whale because most of the time we sit back and think, well, that's a fish that's big enough to swallow a human being whole, and that's the biggest fish that we know of. All we know is a great fish. We don't know what kind it was. But then there was this miracle that God prepared this great fish. You know, God, let me let you know this. God would go to any length to get Jonah right because he had a job for him to do. And I want you to pay careful attention to that because the same is true in your life and the same is true in my life. God will go to any length and great lengths at that to get us right because he has a job for us to do for him. Not job for us to do for us, but a job to do for him. Are you fighting that? Is your disobedience trying to carry you in a different way? Now, there's a countdown. Remember, 40 days. You know, he says, you go prophesy 40 days. It's going to be over. I'm going to wipe them out if they don't repent. The countdown is continuing even in the midst of Jonah's disobedience. The same way the countdown is continuing for you and I today concerning when the Lord will call us out to be with him. You know, Jonah was brought to a very great place of prayer. Could you imagine what it must have been like to be in the belly of a fish, alive and cognizant? You know, fish is swimming around underwater, and you're said, I believe in the belly of a fish would be a great time to pray. You know, some of you are in the middle of your trials and tribulations. That's a great time for you to pray because God may have pulled you out to get your attention. And that means if he's got your attention, he still has something for you to do. He will deliver you from that trial and that tribulation so that you can be about his will, his way. Sometimes we're just hard-headed and God has to drag us to where it is that he's got a plan for us. Yeah, Jonah was brought to a place of prayer, maybe in the same manner that you are being brought to a place of prayer through trials and circumstances and situations on this very day. You know, what does God have to do to bring you or to bring into your life bring you into his will? What does he got to do? What kind of attention getter does he have to bring forth in your life to get you about his business? Now, I mentioned a moment ago that this is one in a series of about five that we're going to do when we're talking about Jonah and we're talking about the great fish. But I also want you to consider the fact that Nineveh was a city that God wanted to save, much like there are people that God wants to save today. And so many times we sit back and say, well, they're not like us. They're not of the same social economic status, or they're not the same race, or whatever the case may be. If there are living, breathing human beings, then God loves them, and God has a plan for them, and God wants to save them. And folks, here's the thing about it. He wants to use me and you to do that. Nineveh was a city that God wanted to save, but he also had a man by the name of Jonah that he needed to teach a lesson to. Because keep this into consideration as you prepare for next week's message. Jonah hated these people. He didn't want to go. He's like, I'm not going to do that. I don't like these people. In fact, Jonah had such a hate for them, he would rather see them die than to be saved. And he had a little thing going on in his head, too, that's going to come up as we continue our Bible study. But he knew God had a plan. He knew what God wanted to do. He knew that if he was obedient, that God was actually going to do and accomplish what he wanted to do and accomplish in the city of Nineveh. And Jonah didn't want to have any part of it. Is that where you are today? That you have such a hatred or such a disobedience for someone or something that you don't want to be about God's will in your life, that you might be used as an instrument in his hands to see somebody come into the kingdom of heaven? Boy, that's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. Ask Jonah. He spent some time in the belly of a fish and had time to consider it. I mean, you know, 3 days in the belly of a fish, I'm sure that he might have napped a little bit, but how do you do that? I mean, imagine how stressful that might have been. In the same way, I imagine how stressful maybe some of the trials and tribulations in your life are, some of the things that you're going through. First of all, you have to ask yourself this: am I available to God? To be a part of a city or a people or a neighborhood or a workplace that he wants to save. See, God had to get Jonah's attention. Maybe today he is trying to get your attention. Well, one of the things that I want you to do, I'm going to have a prayer for us right now that we would truly open our heart to the message that God has for each one of us as he wants to use us. Maybe we're in the middle of trials and tribulations right now. But what is it that God wants to do? As soon as we become obedient, then God begins to bring us through the trials. Okay, so let me go ahead and tell you what we're going to be looking at next week. In the past, I've been giving you five chapters, and we've been picking one out. This past week, or for coming into this week, I gave you one chapter to study and study carefully. I want to do that again this week. So this week, what I want you to do is I want you to study the book of Jonah, chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2, just the one, the next one after the one we've looked at today. And next week, we're going to discuss Jonah's prayer. What was it that Jonah said in the belly of this fish? What was it that Jonah sought? And what was it that he desired in the midst of this trial and tribulation that he was in? That's going to come out of Jonah chapter 2. That's what we're going to be looking at next week. As we have the chance and the opportunity to come together. So today I ask you, has God called you to do something that you don't want to do? Has he called you to go to a people you don't want to go to? What is your reaction? Are you following him, or are you being a whole lot like Jonah and you're running the opposite direction? Let me go ahead and promise you, that's futile. You're not going to make it. God's going to bring you back. Even if it's through the belly of a fish, he is going to get you where he needs for you to be. It's much better to repent. It's much better to go to him in prayer. It's much better to be about his plan for your life so that he might be honored and he might be glorified. So this week, take a look at Jonah chapter 2. We'll look forward to coming together once again next week as we once again look at Jonah's life and at what God wanted to do in the city of Nineveh. And Jonah's prayer. We're going to look and see what it was that he said from the belly of a fish and see how it compares to your prayer in the midst of your trial and tribulation if you happen to be running. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, I just ask that you would help us in all the things that we do and say to magnify you. Lord, I pray that particularly when we hear so clearly from you the direction you want us to go, that we would not be disobedient in the same fashion, Lord, that Jonah was disobedient, but that we might be about your will. Father, I pray that as we continue to take a look at the city of Nineveh and we take a look at Jonah's life, Lord, that we might see if there are any parallels as your Holy Spirit leads us. If there's anything in our life that is displeasing to you or we're not where we're supposed to be, I pray that you'll lead, guide, and direct us to get us back in your will. Get us back where you want us to be. Get us back to being an instrument in your hand that you and you alone truly would be honored and glorified. So, Father, right now, give us your Holy Spirit to teach us as we discover Jonah chapter 2 this week. Teach us some things that maybe we've never seen before when we've read this particular passage, and help us most of all, Lord, to be able to make application to our lives where we are. Speak to us, Father, as only you can, and we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, folks. Listen, I pray that you will have a great, great week. I pray that if you happen to find yourself in the shoes of Jonah, or should I say the sandals of Jonah, that the Holy Spirit's spoken to your heart already, that you will work on that repentance, and that you will work on getting on the path that God wants you to be, that you might be used by Him in a great way. We're going to see that about Jonah as we continue our study. So I hope and pray you have a great week. Look for opportunities all around you to be able to share Christ with somebody, or to be that encourager to those that are in your sphere of influence in life. As always, if you don't have a church, we would love to have you visit with us at Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're located at 1715 Highway 68. Our services start at 10:45. We'd love to come, love for you to come and be a part of worshiping together and being a part of the family of God called Central Baptist Church. Have a great week. I love you. I look forward to seeing you next week.